And King of Kings, would you stand for the reading of God's word this morning? Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 is our text. I will read it in a moment, but let me offer a prayer of illumination for us before we read the text. O God most high, everlasting Lord, mighty and lifted up, grant to us your Holy Spirit, that in these words of Holy Scripture our hearts might be lifted up and our minds set on heavenly realities, that contemplating the reign of our ascended Lord, we might long to be with him and enter into the joy of his eternal kingdom. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Praise God, you may be seated. There will be many things that in the coming weeks that we continue to saturate ourselves in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that we will come to see about faith. But today, I hope that we each can marvel at our faith in Christ together. To look at it, to gaze upon it, to wonder about it, because this is where I think the author of Hebrews is taking us. He's drawing us to consider our faith. I was thinking about that this week and thinking about the fact that my father, he was in the Navy as a young man, and there were two naval officers that shared the gospel with him. And he, at a relatively young age, came to Christ, and the Lord quickened his heart to believe, and he clung to Christ, believing on the gospel of all that Jesus had done for him. And I think about the implications of that. I think about the fact that I grew up in a covenant home with parents who believed upon this good news. I remember even as a young child having an abiding affection for Jesus that I look back on now and I recognize that this is something the Lord did. A gift that he has given. And I would just ask you to ponder and think about how did the Spirit draw you to faith in Christ? As we think about faith, maybe have that question on the back burner of your mind today. Who did God use? What did he use to draw me to himself, to open my eyes to the beauty of this good news? So in Hebrews, the preacher calls us to consider faith. And he's going to lead us through this in this entire chapter, this entire section. He's going to lead us on a long trek through the faith of those who had gone before. But right at the beginning of this section, he takes a moment to discuss faith in a particular way. I've sought in my studies this week to boil this down. It's always important as a preacher to make sure that you're driving toward the point of the text that's emerging and that you're clear about it. And I've thought about it and prayed about it, and I've come up with a sentence that I think will be helpful as we navigate this text together this morning. And here's the sentence. It, of course, is coming from a preacher, so it's fairly complicated and complex, but here it is. Faith is a present guarantee, which our lives will show, that is established on the basis of God's word. Faith is a present guarantee which our lives will show that is established on the basis of God's word. And as we navigate this text verse by verse this morning, I think we will see the ways in which this sentence, we're going to use this to expositor, expound on and explore this text together this morning. So first, faith is a present guarantee. The first verse here that we come across in chapter 11 delivers to us two very important and vital viewpoints concerning faith. First, we see that faith is, as the author states, the assurance of things hoped for. The assurance of things hoped for. Right now, if you're driving on the 101 and you get close to Cardinal Stadium, you will notice on the eastern side of the road, for months now, there has been construction going on. And you get the sense that this is more than just a house being built, because for months they've been digging deep into the ground. They've been laying, you know, you see concrete coming up out of the earth. And I don't know what even is being built here. No idea. It could be an apartment complex. It could be some sort of commercial building. But you get the sense that what is being built is significant because of the way by which they are taking time to lay the foundation and build this substructure that will support this building, whatever it is. Some of you may know what this is and might be able to enlighten me. But at the very least, you drive by it and you see what's being built and you know that something substantial is happening. The language of assurance should almost bring this type of imagery to your mind. Our faith is the foundational layer. It is the basis, the substance, right? It's getting at sort of what is underneath everything. That's the kind of the more literal rendering of this Greek word to stand under. And what is this foundation for? It provides for us a guarantee in the present of what God has promised he will do. It provides for us a guarantee in the present of what God has promised he will do. And so we see that our faith is a present guarantee. It's the first thing we see here in this verse. But second, we see that faith is the conviction of things not seen. It is the conviction of things not seen. The author of Hebrews is going to show us through the rest of chapter 11 the various ways that faith was a present guarantee of that which was presently unseen in several examples. And if you think through the story of Israel, you can probably come up with several just even in your mind right now. You think of Abraham being promised that he would be the father of a nation, right? And when does this promise come to him? Before he has any kids of his own. When he was childless, right? Think of Moses, who was told that God would free his people while they were enslaved in Egypt, saying, "This is what I will do. I will free them from their slavery. I've heard their cry. I've seen the oppression, and I will free them." This arrives at Moses in the present moment when Israel was under the bondage of slavery in Egypt. Think of Rahab, who with eyes of faith welcomed spies into her home to be able to look at that area, probably at a time when that city felt secure. And yet we see here that Rahab did this by faith. So faith is this present guarantee which assures us of things that we hope for. And it is this conviction of things that are not seen, that they are not visible. It is a conviction of things that are not seen. It's the first thing we see here in Hebrews. But very quickly, we see that our faith, our trust, our belief, it will always find expression in our lives, which is sort of the next place that the author takes us. He gives us just a taste of really what he's going to do in this whole chapter. But the way in which he brings this to us is through this single sentence, which provides us with one of the two bookends that we see in this next section, where he says in verse 2, "For by it the people of old received their commendation." This is the one bookend. And then the rest of this chapter will give us a very detailed account of the way in which faith was at work in the lives of God's people. And this will lead us to the other bookend, which is verse 39. So clear at the end of chapter 11, where we see these words, "And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised." And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. So think of our sentence again. Faith is a present guarantee which our lives will show that is established on the basis of God's word. Hebrews puts in front of us the history of examples, the people of old here, whose lives displayed their faith. And the point here, there's several to be made, but one emphatic one is this: if you possess faith in Christ, you should be able to see it. You should be able to see it. When you were young, you might have had a friend who would find his or her way to brag about just about anything. Someone would jump off the high part of the jungle gym, and that person would say, "Oh, I could do that." Or, your friend would dunk a basketball, and then that friend would say, "Oh, I could do that," right? Anything that would happen that was amazing or outstanding, that person was right there to say, "Oh, I could do that." And if you didn't have that friend, you might be that person, who knows? But you have a friend like that, and it's not too long to where when you hear them say that over and over, what do you do? What do you say to them? You say, "Well, prove it." You say you can do all this stuff. You say you can dunk the ball. You say you can jump off the thing. You say, "Prove it. Let's see," right? It's not enough to simply state that you can do something, but in order to validate your claim, evidence must be provided. You got to show it. In a similar way, our faith in Christ, the Lord grants to us fruit of our faith, demonstrations of the work that he has done within us. Ways in which this internal work of the Spirit that has regenerated and renewed our hearts comes to life in the fruit of our lives so that we can see, so that others can see faith at work. This will be seen in a whole host of ways. This will be seen in many times, the ordinary moments of your life. The way in which you treat one another, the preference that you give to someone over yourself. Think about how many opportunities you have to do that on a given basis. This will be seen in the ways that you serve and love your neighbor, your physical neighbor, coworker, those around you, those that God has placed around you. This will be seen in the ways that you spend and utilize your possessions and your money, the things that God has given you. It will be seen in our families. It will be seen in our workplaces. Remember that key sentence as we think about this text, as we go through it. Faith is a present guarantee. It's something that God has given to us in the present, which our lives will show that is established on the basis of God's word. Now think about this for a moment, the larger picture, even within church history. I think of in the first century, Roman culture, it was not uncommon for families to leave their unwanted babies on a hillside to die. The early church was known for many things. One of them was for them going to that hillside, taking those babies who were unwanted and bringing them into their homes, adopting them into their families and caring for them. They were known for this. This was sort of, in some ways, their reputation. This was one way that faith, the goodness of what Christ had done in their hearts, of adopting them into his family, was seen in their life, was evidenced in their life. I think of, over the course of church history, the many men and women who have given their very lives for the sake of God's mission. I think of missionaries that go into places knowing I probably won't come out alive. The missionaries that went in with a coffin, saying, I'm going to die here. Going into tribes that they knew were hostile to the gospel, but because God had come after them in his love, they could not help but going to those who had yet to hear this good news. I think of, even in our present day, there's so many examples of this, but I think about something as simple as a corporation that chooses to remain closed on Sundays. I mean, this in and of itself doesn't seem like it would be that controversial, but it can be quite the statement of faith. When you are willing to set aside potential profits for the sake of public witness, for the sake of the good of your workers, and for the sake of those who may, you know, come to your establishment, right, on Sundays to remind them. There's many ways that we see the invisible work of God's Spirit within us being manifested in our life, shown in our life as Christians. We see that faith is indeed a present guarantee given to us, which our lives will show. This is a part of marveling at your faith, King of Kings. This is a part of marveling at God's work in you. When you experience the fruit, when you see the ways that you love and serve and bless, that is a moment for you to rejoice in what God has done. But our text doesn't end there. He goes on and he says, now we turn to this portion where we're to consider how our faith is established in this final part of this statement. This takes us to the end of this short passage where the author says this: by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So we see thirdly and finally that our faith is established on the basis of God's word. We are brought back in our mind's eye to the very beginning of all things, and we are reminded of the way by which all things have come to be. The word rhema used here speaks of the spoken word of God speaking into existence all that is from nothing. And we understand this as we see that the creation and even mankind ourselves were created very good. That was the language utilized by God to say it is very good. We are given the ability to see God's creation rightly, to exist within the framework of God's shalom, his peace. However, since our rebellion, our vision of the world has been marred and distorted. In sin, we are blind to reality. In sin, we are deaf to the truth. I think this is, ironically enough, this is most on display for me many times when I hear folks that would consider themselves like capital A atheists, right? There is a vitriol, an anger that you hear sometimes. And what you see someone doing who insists that there is no God, what do they have to do? They have to recreate a world, re-envision a world where God is absent. There's no telling how frustrating this will make you as a person, or frustrated this will make you as a person. To recreate this world, to say that there is no God. And you see this evidenced in some ways. If you look at this, you see this even evidenced in this way. We think about this, especially within the sciences, how the sciences have been put up against the Christian faith like they were enemies. And how, if you look in the scope of history, this is such a silly notion. For a majority of world history, a majority of the science scientists of history and those who did research and all this, their scientific endeavors were infused by their faith. They had a Godward orientation to the world that grew within them curiosity for discovery. Grew within them this desire to know more about this creation that God has made, to understand it, because the world is understandable. It was created by an intelligent being. It is something that we can grasp and understand in a way. And you see this within the majority of the history of science. I love how theologian Hermann Bavinck states this. He talks about this in his larger work. It's been retitled to say Our Reasonable Faith, but he says this, I'll read this to you. He says, the Christian who sees everything in the light of the Word of God is anything but narrow in his view. He is generous of heart and mind. He looks over the whole earth and reckons it all his own, because he is Christ's and Christ is God's. He cannot let go his belief that the revelation of God in Christ, to which he owes his life and salvation, has a special character. This belief does not exclude him from the world, but rather puts him in position to trace out the revelation of God in nature and in history, and puts the means at his disposal by which he can recognize the true and the good and the beautiful and separate them from the false and sinful alloys of men. Hebrews says, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. The biblical story lays before us a view of the world that is comprehensive in scope. And it is reliable because it has its basis on, as the scripture indicates, the spoken word of God, what God has spoken. He defines what is true, what is good, what is beautiful. Faith is not blindly trusting something. Faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is not maintaining just a positive attitude, closing your eyes and pretending like something isn't. We believe by faith in the Word of God because it is God who created all things and sustains all things. Faith is a present guarantee which our lives will show, that is established on the basis of God's word. The same God who spoke the world into existence, hear this, Christian, has spoken your faith into existence. I'm reminded of this as I consider the ways and the means by which God made himself known to my father in the Navy. I'm reminded of this as I consider my own journey in a covenant family. There, as I think back, it's hard to remember a time I didn't believe. And I pray this for our children at King of Kings, that they would grow up marveling at what God has done in them by his grace. But what a marvelous and humbling reality to consider. That the God who created all things has looked upon you. That he has brought life to you by his Spirit. As we close, let's bring our attention back to the opening of this marvelous letter of Hebrews, where the writer says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We are brought here in chapter 11 to consider the power of the one who has brought the creation forth from nothing. Our eyes being directed to the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. This is the marvelous center of Hebrews, and the preacher here, he does not weary from bringing us again and again and again to Christ. Consider the agony of the cross. As we consider the seen and the unseen, the agony of the cross seen in the whips marking the body of Christ, the crown of thorns piercing his head, the nails driven through his hands, the shame of his nakedness on display. But that which was unseen was even more difficult for even us to fathom. That Christ would be forsaken so that we would never be forsaken. That Christ would become a curse for us so that we would receive the blessing of God. That Christ would drink the cup of God's wrath so that we would be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. By faith, we look upon the cross and see all that God has done. Faith is a present guarantee, which our lives will show, which is established on the basis of God's word. By faith, we join the disciples who saw their risen Lord, who ate with him, who spoke with him. By faith, we hear the words of Christ delivered unto them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," and we seek to follow. By faith, our lives are founded upon the rock that is Christ. And though the winds of this life may blow in and blow out, Christ holds us firm. King of Kings, faith is a present guarantee which our lives will show that is established on the basis of God's word. Would you stand and let's pray this morning. O triune God, our desire is that your word would bear much fruit in our lives as your people. Help us, O Lord, in our living, as your Spirit works within us to sanctify, to renew, and to purify us so that we may grow in conformity to Christ. I ask you to draw our attention to our foundation, that by grace through faith in what Christ has done, we have been made new creations, that we now are found in Christ, not having a righteousness of our own, but that which is by faith. God, would you grant that day by day, moment by moment, we would be drawn to marvel at our salvation, to marvel at our faith, to see what you have done. Lord, in our sin, maybe we be quick to turn to you, to repent and confess it. In our obedience, maybe we be quick to turn to you, to recognize the work of your Spirit within us, boasting in Christ all the way. We give you praise, O Lord, for all that you are doing among us, for your glory on display. We ask that you would help us to be faith-filled people. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.